Hello there, we're in the World House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's a privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Alright, so 3 John verse 2. Everybody, 2 go. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, the Bible is speaking about prosperity in three different areas. Number one, it says, I want you to prosper. Number two, I want you to be in health. Number three, I also want your soul is your mind, to prosper. And this is where they got the saying, healthy, wealthy, and wise. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be wealthy. But I also want your soul, your mind, to prosper. So can I prophesy over somebody? You will prosper in your health, prosper in your finances, but you also prosper in wisdom. Say loud, amen, somebody. Again, let me repeat. You'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy, and you'll be wise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please sit down like the king that you are. Three quick information about more money. Last Sunday I spoke at length, and this morning I want to still say a few more things about more money. Number one, please understand that money always matters when it matters the most. When the push comes to shove, when the chips are down, when there is an emergency around you, money always matters. Please let me have the slides. When it matters the most. Money always matters when it matters the most. Ladies and gentlemen, I agree with you that there's a whole lot of abuse on the subject matter of prosperity from the pulpit across the world. And we don't have any doubt about that. Every time there's original, there's bound to be the fake. There's bound to be the artificial or the fake. So we are not bothered about the fact that some people have abused it. But the fact that people have abused the prosperity gospel will not stop us from talking about money. Money we will talk about. Sex we will talk about. Relationship we will talk about. We'll not stop talking about them because some people are going to get uncomfortable with it, because if we don't talk about it, someone else is going to talk about it. And that is the reason why the church must be able to give our narrative on the subject matter. Gentlemen, first thing I want to say to you is that money is so important, ladies and gentlemen, that in Ecclesiastes 10:9, the Bible told us it answers all things. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 19, it says, feast is made for the laughter, wine makes a man merry, but money answers all things. Please notice, money doesn't solve all problems, but trust me, it answers all things. If you are screaming and you are banging on your door, please help me, help me, help me. If I show up, I have answered you, but it doesn't mean I have the ability to save you. So I may answer you, I may not save you, because if money can save all things, no rich man will die. Please talk to me, somebody. So money can answer, but it doesn't mean it saves all things. But it answers all things. It can get you the best doctor. It can put you in the best hospitals. It can secure for you the best of education and all that. It does not mean it saves all things. But money gives you, definitely saves all things. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a couple of things I want you to know, that poverty is a bad thing. Somebody say poverty is a bad thing. And that is the reason why we want you to prosper. God said, God himself said, I have wished above all things. This is my desire, that you make it. And can I say, if it is the desire of God, you will definitely come to pass in your life in the name of Jesus. I say it will come to pass in your life in the name of Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, please note this. Poverty will drastically limit your options in life. Poverty. It will so limit your option that you just feel like a life that is totally, completely constrained. That's why no rich man's child writes jam more than once. If they write jam once, they don't pass. They travel abroad. Are you still there? My God, talk to me. Are you still there? It's poor people's student that write jam 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. And I don't mean to insult your father. I'm just telling you the truth. Because once, and by the way, I hope you know jam is a scam. Jam only exists in Nigeria. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. It doesn't exist anywhere else in Africa. Jam was a scam created by a section of Nigerian society to make sure that they are able to regulate admission of people older than them. So they call it quota system. They said to you, your child's called 280, but will be refused admission. Their child's called 8, but will get admission for the same course in the same university. It's a scam created by a group of people to make sure your children don't go to school more than their children, even though your children are more desirous to go to school and more intelligent. And it's a scam we have lived with for 50-something years. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. Is anybody hearing me? But guess what? When you have money, you have options. Private university doesn't do... You just go and enter a private and go your way. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Please talk to me, somebody. Money will give you options. Ladies and gentlemen, working as a pastor, one of the worst things that I've seen over the years is how the lack of money has made... I've seen parents, gentlemen, I've seen parents who, like, you know, Agar, the Bible says concerning Agar, when the child was crying in the wilderness, she looked away, couldn't bear him die. One of the worst things I've seen happen is where parents, they know that their 18-year-old is sleeping with a married man. They know that their 15-year-old is being abused by somebody, but they are poor. The man is bringing money, they don't have a choice. And they look away while the abuse takes place, and they can't say a word. Are you still there? Please talk to me, are you still there? Lack of money is horrible. That's why, even if you accuse us as prosperity preachers, we prefer to be prosperity preachers than poverty preachers. Or do you prefer me to be a poverty preacher? As long as I'm a prosperity preacher, you're also a prosperity receiver. And you will receive prosperity in the name of Jesus. Say a loud amen, somebody. I can't hear your amen, somebody. Poverty will steal a man's dreams and will make him a servant of his needs. Your life will never rise beyond survival to significance if you are poor. Poverty steals your dreams. You always knew you were meant to be a something, neuro something engineer, but you can never ever become it. You have to settle to a small restaurant in your village, eating from hand to mouth so you can meet your need. That's what poverty does. Poverty reduces your ability for meaningful contribution in life. That's why, guess what? Why are my slides not being shown? So you have it? That's interesting. Very interesting. All right. Gentlemen, that's why when they are calling for offering in church, poor people go to the bathroom. It reduces the ability to make meaningful contribution. When the people are talking in the family, when a poor man raises his hand, they say, wait, we'll get to your turn. Then they now say, please pick your phone and call Okechukwu in Abuja. Let us hear his opinion. Okechukwu is the one that arranges the malaka in the family. You know what I'm talking about? He's the one that pays the bills. And the family meeting can be concluded, even though it's not physically there, simply because he takes care of the bills. Please talk to me, somebody. Everybody has spoken. You say, your father said, please, oh, it's okay, we have had everybody, but just hold on. Can you get Okechukwu online? May you be Okechukwu in your family in the name of Jesus. The man is in Dubai. You people are in Nigeria. Family meeting cannot be concluded without him. Poor man is trying to raise his hand. They say, calm down, we'll get to you. Somebody say, God forbid. Say, I refuse to be poor. Shout and say, I refuse to be poor. One of the crazy stories that always makes me angry in the Bible was the story recorded in Ecclesiastes 9:14-16. The Bible says there was a little city, and the Bible says in that city was a wise man. The enemies came and wanted to run over the city. The Bible says through the poor man's wisdom, the city was saved. But this is the sad part of the story in verse 15, the B part. Yet no one remembered that poor man. He saved the city. That city would have been run out if not for his wisdom. The Bible says, yet no one remembered that poor man. That's why Solomon said, I say, wisdom is better than might, even though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words will never be heard. A poor man's wisdom is not respected anywhere. People say, when he shares his wisdom, if it's to say, understand the faith, why enough he make money? I said something yesterday. They said, amongst the 300,000 richest men in the world, there's no native doctor inside it. And yet, you are killing your sister for the native doctor to make you rich. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Please talk to me. Are you still there? Poverty opens door to major temptations. I've seen holy and righteous brothers lie because they are poor. Tell the landlord, I'm not at home. And their children are looking at them and they're trying to reconcile that other morning devotion that says, all liars shall go to... But daddy is in a situation. that needs redemption. Daddy doesn't have a choice than to lie about his presence. Gentlemen, I've seen a lot of decent, good people who are to do bad things simply because they are poor. I was sharing the first service of a pathetic story of a good Christian sister, married, happily married with children, whose boss was always coming after her. I want to sleep with you. And she said, God forbid, I'm a child of God. God forbid, I will never do it. Until the husband fell sick and they needed $3 million for treatment. She was still saying, I will not do it. I will not do it. And the husband looked at her one day and said, I'm dying. He said, if sleeping with this man is what will bring the money to keep me alive, I think you should do it. Consider it. And in pain, the woman had to go sleep with the boss, got the money, but the husband still died. And she resigned from the company and said, if hunger will kill me, let me die of hunger. Poverty is bad. Poverty is bad. Are you still there, somebody? Many years ago, a very dear sister of mine, serving as a missionary in Tafawa Balewa local government area, Bauchi State, I remember she called and said, I lost my child. I said, what is the problem? He said, the child went into convulsion, rushed to the hospital. The hospital said, deposit 5,000 naira, not 50,000 naira. Husband and wife, home and abroad, could not muster 5,000 naira. The child died. The child died. That's what poverty can do. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? The point I'm trying to make, ladies and gentlemen, is that God wants you to have poverty because, believe me, whether you like it or not, please, I beg you, money will always matter when it matters the most. There's a season when your father is stuck and they say, if we don't take him to India now, he's going to die. And the whole family is looking at each other. Nobody can mobilize 1 million naira. That's when you know money is important. God will make you rich. I said, God will make you rich. We lost one of the greatest musicians in Enugu many years ago, simply because he needed kidney transplant. Home and abroad, nobody could gather the money together to send him abroad. We sing a song till tomorrow. I had a couple of times to speak to the wife, but we lost that man only because money could not be gathered together for him to be sent to India for a transplant. I pray that God will bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen. Amen. The second fact I want to make about more money is that everyone who has a capacity for thinking, for a thought, that same person has a capacity for wealth. If you can only think and think well, you have the capacity to create wealth and to create money. The first seed of wealth, ladies and gentlemen, is not money, it's an idea. The first seed of wealth creation, it's not money. Pastor, I don't have capital. No, it's not capital. The first seed of world creation is an idea. That's why a gentleman called Javi Firestone, he says, thoughts, not money, is the real business capital. Thoughts, not money, is the real business capital. Ladies and gentlemen, all you need to be able to walk in wealth, all you need, one of the major first ingredients you need, is an idea inspired by God. Is anybody hearing me? An idea inspired by God. I was sharing in the first service, what was the origin of the female tampon? A woman was going for a party, wore white pants, white trousers, and she was having a wonderful time, looking forward to a great party, only to arrive at the party. And as she came out of the car, somebody shouted and said, get back into your car. You are stained. Because she was in a period. You are stained. White trouser. She broke down and started crying. Got back home, couldn't go back for the party. And in the midst of her tears, a voice said to her, why not come up with a device that no matter how heavy your flow is, that can still contain you even during your period. She sat down, began to put stuff together, and came up with a tampon. The tampon became a multi-billion dollar business a few years after. An idea. Somebody say idea. I can't hear you say idea. For the last time, say idea. That's all it took. One idea. How did the banking industry begin? Guess what? Back in the day, transaction was in the currency called gold or silver. Raw gold, raw silver. And oftentimes the problem was that armed robbers will attack, thieves will steal as you carry your gold to your house. A gentleman came up and said, you know what? Why don't we rent a place? Put security guard around the place. Everybody start bringing your gold. Instead of taking your gold home after business, after market, bring your gold here. We'll protect your gold. You pay us a token. The guy began to keep people's gold and store people's gold. Over time, the guy realized that some people put their gold, 1 year they've not collected it. Some take it a few months after, but not everybody collects it at the same time. Wow. The guy realized that now he has money to lend to some other people, loan to people, and collect interest. Before you know what's happening, money that does not belong to him, he starts loaning it to people. He starts renting it to people. Interest is coming. He made so much money in the interest, he told them, don't pay me again to keep your gold for you. Just be bringing the gold. Before you know what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, what we call the banking industry today was birthed from an idea. A gentleman that was working in Manhattan, New York, discovered that when he closes from work, to get a taxi was always a problem because the taxis were always overbooked. He sat down and said, God, how do we get more taxis on the road? And discovered that everybody has a car, but not every car is a taxi. How do I turn every car into a taxi? He developed what they call the Uber today. Came up with the app and began to say to people, you know what, you don't need to be a taxi driver, but you can make money, extra change from your car 2 hours, 3 hours after work every single day. By the time he introduced the concept, guess what? Some people close at 4 o'clock and discover that they don't need to get home too early. They can do 2 hours of Uber, make some extra change before they get back home. Today, all over the world, the idea of private taxis owned by individuals became rampant. Now we have boats. Now we have lifts. Now we have all kinds of other taxi companies right now simply because of one person's idea. Gentlemen, please understand this. If you can only come up with an idea, you have the capacity to create wealth. Say amen, somebody. All over the place now in Nigeria, there's real estate companies. How did real estate come? Too many people have been scammed of their money. Too many people have been cheated. And that reminds me, I didn't even make the announcement. After this service today, we have some of the best real estate brains in our church who will be coming up here to speak to us about real estate investment. I don't know how come I skipped that in my announcement. We're going to be speaking to you about, and let me say this to you, gentlemen. Do not make the mistake a lot of people have made before where they say, I don't have money. You'll be shocked. You don't need money to start real estate business. Is anybody hearing me? You do not need money. Many years ago, I was speaking to Rocha Sokorocha. I asked him, how did you make your first money? How did you become a millionaire? This is years before he became a governor. And he said this to me. He said he was a little poor boy hawking bread in Jos. Bread. And he was hawking bread. That was his daily trade sent by his parents. He said one day, a company in Jos folded up. The white men were relocating back to the UK. And they now, somebody whispered to him that they are looking for who to buy up the property owned by the company. Bread seller dropped his bread and began to campaign. Who is interested? He knows a few rich men in Jos and began to go from one to the other. Who is interested in buying bread? Gentlemen, that was how one of the rich men he approached and said, talk to me about it. He gave him more details, gave him photocopies of the document, linked him up with the MD of the company. Transaction was done. He said at the age of 12 years old, he made 8 million naira. 12 years old. First money, 8 million naira. He didn't eat that money. He took that money. Abuja was a forest, but there was a prediction one day to become Federal Capital Territory. Are you there, somebody? He took the 8 million, traveled to Abuja, and bought land, some of them for 10,000, 20,000, in a place called Maitama. And then he bought one small taxi. Listen to true story. He bought one small taxi and began to do taxi driving. He makes any money he makes. End of the month, he returns back to Abuja. He buys two plots. He buys one plot in a place called Maitama. Ladies and gentlemen, if you sell one plot of land in Maitama today, Brother Ike, can you help me? Assuming you vex and you sell one plot in Maitama, Oga, please help me. 500 million. That's the cheap part of Maitama. Oh, because I know that there are one plot in Maitama that go for 1 billion. Sir, I'm begging you, stay back for this talk. It's a short one. We have a 1 hour, 30 minutes business meeting after now. Just to help you. I was talking to Mrs. Osler many years ago, one of the richest women in River State. She owns schools, she owns There's this hotel on Transamadi she owns. I've forgotten the name of the hotel now. She said this to me. She said, when I was a student, many years ago, she said, my friends were buying Vuitton to match bag and shoe. She said, when my parents give me my pocket money, I save it. And I look for bush. I buy land, 50,000, 20,000, 10,000. That land she was buying, 10,000, 50,000 is now Transamadi Industrial Layout, Port Harcourt. Mrs. Osler, I've forgotten the name of our hotel. Who knows the one I'm talking about? She owns this school. Oh my God, I've forgotten it. Is it McDonald's School? One of the big schools, private schools in Port Harcourt. The point I'm making is you don't need money to start real estate. Please, don't make the mistake some of us made. Come, let people talk to you so you can start early to build your wealth. The land you buy today for 100,000, 5 years from now, even 5 million offered to you, you won't sell it because it'll be worth more than that. Is anybody hearing me? But the point is this, there's too much scam out there. That's why you need professionals to talk to you and guide you so you don't throw away money. I bought in this Enugu many years ago, 12 plots of land. I never sold that land because it was a scam. So let professionals guide you so you can enter into the right hand. Praise God. I said praise God. That was a deviation, right? All right. 12 minutes to go. Let me see if I can wrap up. Are you still with me, somebody? Are you still with me, somebody? All right. Right. So, some of you have heard about Shark Tank. Anybody knows about Shark Tank? This empowerment program on DSTV. You know about it. Now, what's the program? It's pretty much like the Lion's Den program, where people come and talk about their ideas and share, you know, they ask you questions. You have a 7 multi-billionaire investors who ask you questions about what do you plan to do? How do you intend to? And they will ask you all kinds of questions. They will do a SWOT analysis on your business. What are the risks, the this, and so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, if it's convincing enough, they invest money in it. Gentlemen, do you know that some of the breakthrough businesses that came from Strom, from that project, the Shark Tank project, are so mind-blowing. One of them is something that they call the breathometer. Everybody say breathometer. Come on, talk to me. Say breathometer. Now, Americans like to drink. So guess what? In America, if you go for a nightclub and you drink, there's a threshold of alcohol that must not be in your blood. Otherwise, if police stop you, you are going to prison. Or you pay a heavy fine. You know what I'm talking about. And all they simply need to do is they draw a straight line and ask you to walk. They know that you will never ever be able to walk on that straight line. As long as you don't shy, you don't enter body. You know what I'm talking about. All right. So this one, and this gentleman sat down and developed a device called breathometer. What is the breathometer? Now, instead of you waiting for police to catch you, when you finish drinking in the nightclub, you take your breathometer and breathe into it. Now they say there's something there that shows a reading. Whether your alcoholic level in your blood is above the threshold that police will arrest you. Are you still there, somebody? This guy invented the breathometer. Now, don't forget, when the first time he came with the breathometer, please listen to this. It was said that he invested $650,000. And after a space of about how many years, guess what? He had only been able to sell just a few of it. People were not interested. Until he shows up in this Shark Tank program and talked about breathometer. Now, guess what? Everybody in America, not everybody, a lot of people, all the drunks in America became interested in the thing. So the police will not catch them. You know what I'm talking about? And guess what? People began to buy into it. It was said that instantly somebody invested 6.5 million naira or dollars into it. And they said that in exactly 2 years, he had exceeded the 20 million mark. This guy became a multi-millionaire simply because of an idea on breathometer. Now, I want you to understand something. Everywhere there is a problem, problems are begging for somebody who can generate an idea to solve them, and that person becomes a multi-billionaire. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So, Nigeria is faced with all kinds of problems. Look at Abia State today. Abia State right now is the only state in Nigeria where they say there's 24-hour lights. True or false? Now, what am I trying to say? Professor Bat Naji has been working on that project for many, many years. It looked like, even the government of the day at the time fought that project. Fuck that project. Refuse to give him connection to gas. And that project has been fought. But Prof stayed on that project. Today, Rivers is begging for it. All the Southeastern governors are begging for it. Why? Nobody believed that it was possible to have 24-hour lights in Nigeria. But one man stuck to his idea. Kept working on it. See, after the government of that time rejected that program, and yet they lost billions in investment. They had to buy back most of the equipment all over again to continue the project. Today is a reality. Everybody's clapping for it. No idea gets executed easily. No new thing starts easily. But stick to your vision. It's a matter of time. It will come to pass. I thought you would say amen. Amen. Don't throw away your idea because a few people laughed at you. Sometimes they laugh at you because of jealousy. Not because it's a bad idea. They know that if you do this, you become better than them. That's why they're laughing at you. Stick to your project. Keep working on it. One day something good will come out of it. And guess what? There is no idea that is 100% success proof. There will always be one angle of it that is not too good. But that should not stop you. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? Keep working on your dream. And by the grace of God, it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Put your hand on your head. I speak over you. Multi-billion dollar ideas in the name of Jesus. Ideas that will change the world in the name of Jesus. Ideas that will turn your life into a multi-billionaire in 1 year in the mighty name of Jesus. Shout amen, somebody. The third point I want to make for my time's sake, God help me. The third point I want to make is that kingdom wealth is always a matter of trust. And it's always allocated only to people that God can trust. God never trusts kingdom wealth anyhow. God always must trust the people. I told you last Sunday. I said before Satan gives it to you, you must bow. But before God also gives it to you, he must also gain your trust, which is also your bow. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. There are many, many things that God will want to check out in you before he entrusts you with wealth. Just for the purpose of time, three of them. How does God trust me? Number one, are you diligent in your present business? Because if you are taking your present business rubbish, there's no guarantee that if God puts wealth in your hand, you will take it serious. Is anybody hearing me? Do you wake up early to go to work? How serious are you in your job? The assignment is not yours. You are working for somebody. But how you take somebody else's own will determine whether God will give you your own. He said, if you are faithful in what is little, I will give you what is much. And if you are faithful in that which is another man's own, you're working for somebody's hotel. And because it's not your own, you are joking with the job and the man is losing money. You're already practicing how God will never trust you. Is anybody hearing me? God will look at the present income or the present job you are doing, how you are faithful in it. Do you get to work early? Do you go to work and spend the better part of the day either reading book or watching your phone, watching Facebook or doing the work for which you have been paid a salary? God wants to see how diligent you are. Number two, are you faithful in kingdom obligation? God will also check you out. So he said he needs money. He said we can trust him with the wealth of nations. Let's check his tithe record. From January to December, how many times did he pay tithe? How consistent has he been in partnership with the kingdom? How much has he given in offering? Has his offering risen in the last 3 years? God will also watch to see how committed you are in kingdom obligation. No God will commit wealth into your hands if he cannot trust you. And finally, how prudent are you in spending money? God also looks at prudence. Are you somebody who just throws money anyhow? Are you somebody who has no plan, no budget, and no program? Money comes and money goes in your hand. God can never, ever trust you with wealth. Say amen, somebody. For the last time, say amen, somebody. For time's sake, I'm skipping to go straight into my topic for the day. For time's sake. I want to speak to you. I wish I can talk to you about, I'll leave that for another time. Kingdom mysteries on which to stand upon as you plead your, more money, the mystery of kingdom stewardship. That's what I want to speak about in the next couple of minutes as I wrap up. Say after me, the mystery of kingdom stewardship. For the last time, say the mystery of kingdom stewardship. For the last time, say the mystery of kingdom stewardship. Now, please, everybody look up here. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe I should read Zechariah before I say what I want to say. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. Please give it to me. Zechariah 1:17. I've left off a lot of things, but I did that intentionally. I don't have time. Zechariah 1:17. Put it for me, I beg you. Cry yet saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city's true prosperity shall yet spread abroad. The Lord will yet comfort Zion and will choose Jerusalem. Now, everybody look up here. God says, I have cities I want to build. I have a gospel I want to advance. That gospel will only be advanced through prosperity. It is only by means of prosperity that my cities will be spread abroad. In other words, I will have to entrust money in the hands of people so we can become partners together, and by that, the gospel or my cities will spread abroad. Now, let me give you the illustration for this. Gentlemen, so Israel was in Egypt. They were slaves. It was time now for them to go to the promised land. And God said to them, go to the Egyptians. These ones who just lost their firstborn, they are still crying. They are still wailing. Most of them haven't taken the children or the dead sons to the mortuary. God said, I'll give you favor before them. When you get to their house, they're expecting you to come and console them over the loss of their first son. No. Knock on their door. Tell them to give you gold, give you silver, give you this, and give you that. Gentlemen, before you know what's happening, they began to demand, give me gold. Israel took billions, literally trillions worth of wealth from Egypt. Now, this is the point. The Bible recorded that as they embarked on the journey to the wilderness, there was no supermarket, nowhere to spend the money. Question then is, why did God give them all that wealth and there was nowhere to spend it? Ladies and gentlemen, as the journey progressed to Exodus, I think chapter 15 or 18, I'm not too sure, suddenly God asked Moses, call all of them together and said to them, I want all of you who took gold and silver and stuff from Egypt, I want those of you who are willing in your heart, it's not by force, I want you all to now begin to bring offering to me. Why? Because I want to build a tabernacle, a tent of witness in this place. Now please notice, the Bible said to us that a lot of them brought out their wealth. They brought out the gold, the silver, and so on for the building of the tabernacle. But not everybody did that. So, fast forward. The Bible told us Moses in Exodus 20 went up to receive the Ten Commandments from God. While Moses was there, one day became 1 week, 1 week became 10 days. The Bible said he spent 40 days. And the people of Israel concluded that this man is dead. Let's forget about this guy. Let's arrange another God for ourselves that we can worship. And by the time they confronted their assistant pastor, Aaron said, I don't have anything to do, God, for you. They said, don't worry. The other time Moses called for offering for us to build church, some of us were very smart. Some of us didn't bring our offering. So you know what? That offering we didn't give for the advancement of the kingdom, we have it here with us. We're going to donate it. You are going to produce another God for us. The Bible said that Aaron took the money from them, and the Bible said they built a golden calf. And this was the record of scripture. And the people sat down to eat and to drink. And they rose up to play. In the New Living Translation, this is what it says. It said, the people stripped themselves naked and they began to commit fornication. Because when it comes to Satan worship, fornication, immorality, is a part of Satan worship. In the church of Satan, when they are doing their Sunday service like this, part of the worship is that at some point, they start sleeping with one another. That's why sex is not just an affair. It's worship. It's spiritual. Is anybody hearing me? That's why the scripture recorded every other sin is outside of the body. But when it comes to sexual immorality, it says it's a sin against your own body because the two becomes one. So sex is more than hoo-ha. Sex is actually a worship. It's a spiritual thing. There's an exchange of spirits. And most times, there are exchange of demons that takes place. Now, listen up here, gentlemen. Moses came down from the mountain. What's going on here? He saw the people naked, sleeping with one another. Moses lifted up his voice. Who is on the Lord's side? And some of the guys came this way. He said, all of you on the Lord's side, take sword. And the Bible said they took sword. And they went into the camp of those who were committing immorality and bowing before that idol. And they slaughtered each and every one of them. That same wealth that they didn't give for the building of God's temple, now that same wealth became the source of their destruction. They slaughtered every one of them. They took that golden calf, burnt it, and melted it. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to advance? I'm trying to say to you that you cannot expect God to trust you with wealth, kingdom wealth, until God has an understanding with you that he can partner with you for the purpose of advancing of his kingdom. Are you still there, somebody? Talk to him. Are you still there, somebody? For time's sake, let me give you a few facts about kingdom partnership and prosperity. Number one, when grace is judiciously expended, more grace is obtained. Every time grace is used according to the agreement and the partnership with God, more grace is always obtained. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Give me the NLT translation. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Every time God gives you grace for money, you use it judiciously according to partnership. Guess what? It gives you more grace. It gives you more grace. It gives you more. It gives you more. 2 Corinthians 2, 9, verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then, now that he has provided it, you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, before, for you to understand this, help me backtrack, please, to verse 6. Verse 6. Everybody follow me. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get only a few seeds, few crops. The one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now he's talking about giving to God. At the ending, he talks about giving to the poor. So follow me, please. He says, a farmer who plants only a few will get a few. Next verse. Remember this. Okay, no. You must each decide in your heart how much you want to give. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give in response to pressure from pastors. Let it come from your heart. For God loves a cheerful giver. Next verse. Now that you are a cheerful giver to God without pressure, now that you are a partner with God in funding kingdom, now that you are committed to kingdom partnership, guess what? God will generously provide all you need. Not just all you need. Then, you will always have everything you need, and God will ensure you have plenty left over to share with others. This is how it works, guys. Are you still there? Talk to me, are you still there? My God, talk to me, are you still there? So understand, every time grace is judiciously expended, more grace is obtained. Number two, the reward for liberality is enlargement of course and not destiny reduction. The reward for liberality is always enlargement, and not destiny reduction. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters others shall also be watered. Every time you are liberal, every time you give to the poor, you give to God, you give to meet needs. That's why, listen, as a church, this is the best time for us to share food. You know why? Because for every time this is the best time to reach out as an individual. Bless somebody close to you. Give somebody food. Get into your storehouse in your kitchen. Bless some neighbor. Give yam. Give this. Give to people. You know why? The more you are giving, no liberal soul goes lean. Every liberal soul goes fat. Please talk to me, somebody. The key to surviving scarcity is not withholding. It is more giving. The world has the mentality, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. But as far as kingdom principle is concerned, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Men will give to you. I prophesy over you, you will never lack in the mighty name of Jesus. I can't tell you, you can never lack in the mighty name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the shocking partnerships in the Bible, very shocking partnership, was a partnership between God and an unbelieving king called Cyrus. Now listen to the background story. Israel, Solomon built a great temple, a temple that was so great that the whole world talked about it. But Israel had an attack from Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar attacked the Israelites, destroyed that temple, and took them as slaves into Babylon for I forgot the number of years now. But this is not the point. The years of slavery were over, and there was need for them to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. A gentleman by the name of Zerubbabel, everybody say Zerubbabel. I can't hear you say Zerubbabel. Was instructed by God to lead that project. In the company of Zerubbabel was Ezra. Eventually, Nehemiah also led another expedition. I don't want to go into. But Zerubbabel has a pastor called Zechariah. Everybody say Zechariah. And then Haggai was also one of the prophets of the time. And in the company, three of them led the expedition. But this is the point. The king at that time was a guy by the name of Cyrus. And there was need for a partnership now. So this is what happened. Isaiah 54 verse 1. Isaiah 54 verse 1. Please follow me. Isaiah 54 verse 1. God was entering a partnership with a man who doesn't go to church, but God could trust the man. Thus says the Lord God to his anointed Cyrus. This man is not a Christian, but God says he's anointed. Whose right hand are beholden to subdue nations before him? I will loose the loins of the kings to open before him two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now verse 2. He says, I will go before you, Cyrus. I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in places the grates of brass. Verse 3. God said, I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. So you will know I, the Lord, that call you by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect's sake, I have been called, I've called you by name. I have surnamed you. Now read the last thing with me. Though thou hast not known me. Is it showing on the screen? You're not putting the Bible verse? Okay, you didn't get the Bible verse. I'm sorry about that. Isaiah 54, 1 to 4. Just go to verse 4 for time's sake. Go to verse 4 for time's sake. Isaiah 54. Do you have any problem? Isaiah 54, verse. Give me verse 3 if you don't mind. 54. Is it 54? 45, I'm sorry. 45. Isaiah 45. I'm so sorry about that. Isaiah 45. Is that okay? 4, 5. Not 5, 4. Thank you. Isaiah 45, verse 4. Now, listen to this. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect's sake. He said, I've called you by name. I've surnamed you, even though you don't know me. You are not a Christian. Yet God has said to him in the previous verse, I will give you the wealth of secret places. I will empower you. Why was God empowering this man? God said, I know you. You may not be born again, but I've tested you with money, even as an unbeliever. I've seen how you dispense kingdom wealth. And guess what? I can trust you for the rebuilding of my house. I can trust you for the bringing back of the temple in Jerusalem. Cyrus, I've anointed you. I've given you a name. I have put wealth in your hand, even though the fact that you don't know me. Let me tell you what that begins to tell me. There are a lot of unbelievers who don't come to church. God trusts more than many Christians. Are you still there, somebody? There are a lot. God has seen how they manage money. God has seen how they obeyed kingdom protocol. God has seen how they could dispense to the one who first of all gave to them. And God says, I trust you more than I can trust a lot of them who are jumping up and down, singing praise and worship in church. He said, because a lot of them are shouting until money enters their account. And many of them will drop that Bible in a hurry. And the first thing they will say is, let me not go there. Are you still with me, somebody? Answer me, are you still with me? Number 3, prophetic covering will always strengthen the hand of kingdom builders. Prophetic covering will always strengthen the hand of kingdom builders. For the last time, prophetic covering. Every time you are in partnership with God, there is a guarantee you have of God's cover, God's protection, and God's covering, not just over you, but over your family. When they began to build this project, one guy called Sambalat, another one called Tobias, all of them showed up and they wanted to fight this project. And guess what? God showed up and God brought protection and covering over every single one of them that are part of that building. Can I prophesy to somebody that as you partner with God, even for the advancement of his kingdom, as he begins to entrust wealth into your hand, I prophesy over you that the hand of God will provide divine covering, protection over you and your family in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I can't hear your amen, somebody. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Let's do this and wrap up. Zechariah 4, 6. Then he answered and spake unto me. Zechariah 4, 6. He spake unto me. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying. Now, please notice. Zechariah is the pastor. Zerubbabel is the one who is in partnership with God for the rebuilding of the temple. Now the word of the Lord came to him. Since he wants to rebuild, since he's made up his mind to put the capstone, since he's made up his mind to lay the foundation for the building of the church, he says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You'll become a plain. And he will bring forth the capstone, the headstone, thereof with shoutings, shouting, grace, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand also shall finish it. That you will know that I, the Lord of hosts, have sent me unto you. Can you lift up your right hand? I prophesy over your hand, grace, grace, grace. I said grace. Let me tell you the grace I'm professing over your hand. The Bible says Zerubbabel laid the foundation, the same hand also finished it. I speak over you grace for finishing. I said grace for finishing. Every project you started, you will finish. Business you started, you will finish. The house you started, you will finish. The album you started, you will finish. Everything your hand started, I prophesy over you, shall be completed in the name of Jesus. I said shall be completed in the name of Jesus. It says, the hand of Zerubbabel laid the foundation. His hand also will finish it. Again, I prophesy over you, grace. I said, grace. I said, grace. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Genesis 28. I close with Jacob. Genesis 28. I didn't speak much about the prayer aspect because I lost my time. But please understand that all through the period of these 21 days of fasting, we are engaging God in a new dimension. I didn't say that because of time. But I said earlier in the first service, I said there are two dimensions of prayer you must pray. Number one, I said pray like Anna. Everybody say Anna. And then I said pray like Caleb. What was Anna's prayer? Anna was a woman that was in pain and bitterness for need of a child. Penina, her mate, will mock her to the point she will cry. One day she went for Shiloh as usual. She was in the temple and she was speaking in other language. Even Eli the prophet could not understand. At this time in history, Eli the prophet was blind and backslidden. His sons who should take over from him as the next prophet had also backslidden. And God was looking for a prophet. And this lady began to pray. And he was praying. Eli confused her for being drunken. Called her and began to insult her. And the lady said, I'm not drunken. But by the way, sir, I hear there's a vacancy in this church. So what's the vacancy? Sir, I hear that anytime from now you'll retire and there's no one to succeed you. Your children are now misbehaving. And he said, yes. He said, can we enter a deal? He said, I'm looking for a son. God is looking for a prophet. How about we do this? Give me a son. I give you a prophet. If God gives me a son, we'll do a trade by barter. I return him back as a prophet. Eli said, deal. And they said, deal. That month, she took in. By the time she returned back after winning the boy from breastfeeding, she dropped that boy in church and turned back. There was no hope of getting another child. But the end of the story of Anna, she had another 3 sons and 2 daughters. It's called the prayer of Anna. It's the kind of prayer that you look at God and say, God, can we talk? Enough is enough. Give me this money I'm looking for. I promise you one thing. Transekulu branch, house on the rock. I'll take care of it. I pay rent for 1 year. I'll buy the equipment. I will do this, I will do that. It's called the prayer of Anna. It's negotiating with God. It's being able to sit down with God and say, let us talk. You do this. Let me show you how Jacob did his own as I wrap up. Jacob, the guy called Israel. The Bible told us, this was a bad case. He had stolen his brother's blessing and he was escaping. Now in Genesis 28, he got to this particular place. And the Bible said to us in verse 20. Genesis 28 and verse 20. The Bible says, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, God, let us talk. If you will be with me, if you will keep me in this way that I go, if you will do this, if you will do that for me, if you will give me bread to eat and clothes to put on. Next verse. He says, so that I return back again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my who? My God. Next verse. This is my own part of the deal. This stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall become God's house. In other words, I'm building you a church. Number one. Number two, of everything you give me, I will never joke with my tithe. It's a deal. Lord, I know I've not been very good Christian. I've not been very faithful to you, but can you just bless this business? I promise you, I will never fail once in paying my tithes. I will never ever hold back myself from being a blessing to your kingdom. I will be a partner in the house of God. Even if it's to fund buying of diesel every Sunday, I will be a partner with you. Lord, can we enter a transaction together? Bless me. This is month of more money. I'm believing you for a breakthrough. Lord, I want to have an understanding. This is between you and me. That's nothing to do with any other person. If you will do this for me, if I will graduate and I don't repeat that class, if this and that happens to me, Lord, I make a commitment to you. of all that you give me, I will return back the tenth to you. Gentlemen, partnership is where you understand your obligation and God also understands his obligation. And this morning I came to prophesy over everyone that will say, I'm entering into partnership with God. I repent of all the years that I've wasted and I've played games with God. I don't pay tithe. I don't give. When it's time to give, I go to the bathroom. I'm among those who never ever get committed to anything. I'm not even a member of a department. But Lord, enough of the games. I want to enter deal with you. From the bottom of my heart, I want to serve you. Do this for me. Take me serious this time around. Bless me in 2024. Help me to be able to get that visa. Help me to be able to start that business. Lord, I make a promise to you. I will never, ever renege in my part of the agreement. Let's rise on our feet together as we pray this morning. Can you lift up your right hand? Just lift up your right hand. Say, Lord, I commit to you. I enter a deal with you. I enter partnership with you. Can you pray that this morning? And say, Lord, this morning is a morning of covenant. It's a morning of partnership. I am entering into a financial partnership with you. If you will do this for me, if that will happen, Lord, I make this commitment to you. I commit to being faithful to you. I commit to working with you. I commit that I'm going to build that orphanage and we build that hospital. I commit into scholarship for children every year, that I will pay children's school fees every year. Lord, I'm making a commitment to you that I will not fall your hand. I'll be faithful in my own part of this partnership. Can you turn that into a prayer this morning as I pray for you? Just, I want your own words to be heard by heaven. I want your own words to be heard by heaven. Lord, I make a commitment to you. Make me a kingdom partner. Make me a kingdom partner. Make me a kingdom partner. Can you turn that into a prayer this morning? Jebale kote lebara de mokosia. Inebede kosi lepro kose bedeya. Raboko shi prende mako zabadaya. Inemele kosi prende gozi lebande. Resko pelendo zibre ketoya. Shelibonde rabato sabalayanta. Krepato lama koshki prende kasata. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Say after me, Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every other name, I enter into covenant with you. I sign a partnership with you of kingdom wealth and kingdom prosperity. And I decree and declare I will be a custodian, faithful custodian of kingdom resources. I declare, oh God, say after me, oh God. Say after me, oh God. Say after me, oh God. This morning, I enter a covenant with you. I enter into a covenant with you. You can trust me. You can depend on me. And you can take my word to the bank. I will be faithful. I will be committed to kingdom partnership. As the blessings of God come upon my life, I'll be a faithful steward of the resources of heaven. Thank you, my Father. I attract wealth. I attract money. I attract opportunities. I attract kingdom resources. I attract the wealth of secret places as I commit to God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Put your two hands like you want to collect something. Lord, I pray for everyone. Stretch it like you are collecting a gift from God. Lord, I pray for every one of these hands in front of you. My Father, if you trusted an unbeliever, Cyrus, you can trust us. If you trusted a sinner who has not known your name, Lord, you can trust us. This morning we make a commitment. If you will trust us, if you will trust us, we commit to you. Seeking first your kingdom, making sure that your kingdom is okay, knowing that every other thing will be added to us. Lord, we confess, by our hands, your kingdom will be advanced. By our hands, the poor will be clothed. By our hands, the widows We have food to eat. By our hands, we will build orphanages. We'll build schools. We'll make sure that society is better because of us. Lord, by our hands, we'll wipe away the tears of people. But above all, by our hands, we will never ever allow the kingdom of God to suffer. This is the commitment we make as a people. And we make this commitment by faith in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you really believe the commitment you made, I want you to put those ends together and I want you to lift up your voice and give God a shout of victory.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.